and good morning. Welcome to Talk Louisiana on 89.3 FM WRKF. I'm Julie Baxter Payer, and I'm filling in for Jim Engster, who has the day off today, working hard in another location. But we're thrilled to be joining you here. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, it's 1-877-217-5757. 1-877-217-5757. We're going to be hearing a little later in the hour from a man who is a talented blues musician who's entertaining thousands in Europe, and he's from right here in Baton Rouge. He actually grew up in a little town called Oaknolia, which we're going to talk about that upbringing. How did that take him to England and Switzerland and all of the fans that he has now with his brand of Baton Rouge blues that you're sure going to want to hear a few snippets of today here on Talk Louisiana. But first, last year, Livingston Parish, of course, was devastated by the 2016 floods, one in 1,000-year floods. And this year was a recovery year. And 1 year ago, the Livingston Parish president, Leighton Ricks, was saying to reporters when he was asked that he had a optimistic outlook for 2017, that Juban Crossing would be coming back, and saying that it appeared that the sales tax revenue would level out to less of a loss than had originally been thought immediately after the floods. He also spoke about residents resolving to rebuild rather than relocate. We're joined now by Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks. And Leighton, first of all, good morning. Thank you for making time for us this morning.
Good morning, Julie. My pleasure.
It's really great to hear from you. You've had a lot of challenges in Livingston Parish. You're in your second term there. And we just want to check in with you, ending 2017, looking ahead to 2018. Did it turn out the way you thought in terms of recovery in 2017 there in Livingston Parish after the floods?
You know, Julie, I have to say that as optimistic as I was, I did have obviously a lot of fear in what really would take place. But we have exceeded what I thought we would do here in Livingston Parish. I think we're probably roughly, from all estimates and numbers that Homeland Security has been able to put together for me, probably 75% back as far as residential and commercial businesses, with more still rebuilding and still getting into their homes, as well as businesses and new businesses opening. So I'm very, very pleased at where we are at this point versus where even as optimistic as I was, that I thought we might be. So, yeah, it's looking great in Livingston Parish at this point.
Now, we just passed Black Friday. A lot of expectations among retailers around the country for the Christmas season. Any sort of indication yet how the business is doing this holiday season in Livingston Parish?
Well, you know, it's the first real Christmas since the flood that we've had for Juban Crossing, not Christmas, but Black Friday. And I did go out and drove around the parking lot just interested to see. Obviously, we don't have the numbers yet, but if the cars in the parking lot were any indication, they will exceed the sales that they did before. And that was just, I think, great news. But overall in the parish, I think the sales taxes, as they started to trend down toward the end of the summer, Christmas is, I think, going to spur it back into a good area. And we're positive. We're in a positive area with the taxes. So we did not take the punch that I thought we would.
You mentioned new businesses opening in Livingston Parish. What kind of new businesses are you seeing interested in coming into Livingston Parish?
Primarily retail, but also automobile sales. You know, we got the new Nissan Kia place opening up there by Juban Crossing. Caddyshack Retail Center on Highway 16 has relocated. We have a new Lake After Hours clinic that's opened. Just a lot of different things that I think really, really help as far as showing the public that we're here, we're back, coming back, new businesses are coming. And we've got places moving around and opening up new buildings, new businesses in these buildings. So we're really happy right now with the way it's trending in Livingston Parish. I can't wait till probably February, March before we get the numbers to really see where we're at. But it looks good. It looks real good.
And do you think the numbers are showing that most of your residents have, in fact, rebuilt rather than moved somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, we're looking at somewhere around 75-80% of the residents have rebuilt or are in the process of rebuilding. But when you look at the sales taxes, the way they trended throughout this period, and you look and most of that was based on new building materials, which indicates people are rebuilding and coming back and not leaving. and then the automobile sales. So we wound up in good shape financially. Now we have, you know, we still have a lot of expenses ahead as far as our match. The parish overall lost probably, it probably cost us somewhere around $1.5 billion from that flood. So I think the people are staying. The schools are full again. And so I think it's looking really good. And I think we're going to start off 2018 really strong.
Well, the headlines in The Advocate today talk about lower than expected response to the hazardous mitigation grant program applications, where folks can get some help from FEMA to elevate or acquire and demolish their flooded homes. What is your thoughts on why it looks like 87 people, I guess, have applied for that, and they were talking about 1,269 homes that maybe had a potential to be either elevated using maybe 75% FEMA money and the homeowner having to come up with 25%. Was it that match that you think makes it difficult for homeowners?
It is the match, Julie. It's a couple of different things. And those numbers may go up, too, as the year comes to an end and the new year starts. But I think two things. First of all, there's such an apathy toward FEMA that people have just, in the past, we've had huge numbers that would sign up for these programs. And then because of the match would fall off of the list and others would, of course, come on and take its place. We didn't see that necessarily happen as much or as many as we thought this time. But everywhere you go, it's FEMA this. Maybe in some cases rightfully so, and others maybe not. But you just keep hearing how disappointed everyone is with FEMA's response in general. And I think a lot of people have just taken attitude, you know, we're going to do the best we can with what we have. We're not going to get involved in some of these programs. And I hate that in one way, because even coming up with 25% is tough, and a lot of people cannot do that. But here's the other point. If your home has to be elevated, that 25% out of pocket is just to elevate it. That still doesn't put the house back together once it's elevated. You still have to pay to do those things depending on what coverage you have. So in general, I think there just was a lot of apathy toward the FEMA programs.
Well, there seems to be apathy towards Gravity Drainage District taxes as well. Recently, the voters in Livingston Parish said no to tax proposals for funding two Gravity Drainage Districts. And this may seem, although we know we have a strong anti-tax sentiment around the country, but this may seem a little puzzling to folks who aren't familiar with Livingston Parish. Approval of the plans would have marked the first time all areas of Livingston Parish had dedicated funding for gravity drainage if they those taxes had passed. The outcome in the election leaves 80% of the parish without funding for gravity drainage, according to the Livingston Parish News. What are your thoughts on why the voters, after such a devastating flood, said no to improvements in the gravity drainage districts?
Listen, since I've been out here watching and being involved in all of these renewal of taxes, there is, as you said, such just a real apathy, period. And you know from the position you're in, Julie, people assume you ought to be doing more with the tax dollars you already have. Then comes this flood, and they're devastated. They're paying out of pocket. They're not necessarily back in their homes. And here you are asking for a gravity drainage district tax while at the same time acknowledging how well these taxes perform, because they're dedicated taxes in the other gravity drainage districts in the parish. But now the... On one hand, you had a very low voter turnout. So maybe we could sit here and say, well, it really wasn't that many people that spoke. But on the other hand, because we had a low voter turnout, they made it very clear they were not supporting these gravity drains district taxes. I knew it was going to be a really uphill battle to begin with, simply because of what we've dealt with over the last couple of years in renewals and things. People are just... They just feel like they're overtaxed and you ought to be doing more.
And yet
it was hard to get them to understand
the fire
that these
districts
are dedicated.
We had their taxes renewed, right? The fire protection.
They got theirs done, but if you remember last year, they failed and had to go back. Fire District 10, or last year, the year before, had to go back for a second round because it also had failed, as did the health unit renewal and a park and recreation renewal. All three failed. Through educating and going out and talking about the different aspects of having it and the benefit versus not, all three passed on the second go-around. But that's what I'm talking about. And even the school renewals, while passing, aren't passing with the margins that they used to, the comfort that they used to pass in. So I think you're just seeing what's going on all over the country, you're seeing right here in Livingston Parish. And two, so many people lost their jobs because of the flood or spending money out of pocket they didn't have, and they just do not want to discuss new taxes. I knew it was going to be tough. My hope was, because of the devastation of the flood, we could get them to understand that these are dollars that we can use to maintain and keep clean, that property values will go up. Obviously, you'll lessen the chance of water flooding them, but it just didn't. They just didn't accept it.
We're talking with Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what do you do as leaders of a parish when you need to look at drainage issues and the voters say emphatically no to taxes for that purpose. We're going to talk with Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks more about that here on Talk Louisiana when we come back after this break. And welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Julie Baxter Payer, filling in for Jim Engster this morning. And we are having a conversation with Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-877-217-5757. That's 1-877-217-5757 if you have questions for the Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks. And Leighton, we were talking about the voters have said no to gravity drainage district taxes. So I know that even the story in the paper this morning talks about how Livingston Parish did receive close to $64 million in funding from FEMA for some of these drainage projects. Is it funds like that? And what other funds do you have? And what is the plan to try to look at drainage projects for improvements there coming up?
Well, we're very fortunate that through Governor Edwards and because of the flood that the damage that we did receive, we are looking at somewhere around $64, $68 million total to do some drainage projects. It's the first time in the history of Livingston Parish we'll be able to attack this thing all across the parish like we're hoping to get done. Now, obviously, as you know, FEMA will have to approve all those plans because it is hazard mitigation grant dollars, and there's only certain things you can do being in a floodplain. You cannot adversely affect anybody while trying to help somebody over here. So we've got some aggressive ideas that we want to do, but here's the thing. That's one-time money. And I do think that there was some confusion that why would you ask for gravity drainage district tax dollars from us when you're getting all this money to do drainage work? Well, the hope was that the tax districts passed that they would be able to maintain a lot of this that we're going to get clean. But we're going to do that, and we're going to work hard at doing that. Now, through our road program, we do a lot of drainage work through DPW while we're resurfacing roads to try to make our roads last longer. And I think through Director Sam DiGeronimo and DPW and our road program, they've done a really, really good job the last few years of doing that. We're going to hit that hard next year as well. So we're doing everything we can with what dollars we have, Julie. But obviously, in our low, flat-lying area like we have, it is a continuous struggle. And then when you have all the growth that we've had, it's forcing the water to go elsewhere and do other things that typically in the past it hasn't done. But I'll say this, like I say in almost every interview I get an opportunity, if you want to know what's going to happen in Livingston Parish with floodwaters, you talk to anybody that's 70, 75, 80, 85 years old, that's been on their property all their life. They don't need an engineer to tell them what that water's going to do. They'll tell you what that water's going to do. They know. They know how it's going to react, and they know how they're going to react to it. And I try to listen to these people, and when we're making decisions like with this money, to do the kind of work that we're going to do, a lot of times we'll base it on information we get from longtime residents who have been here.
Do you have any do you have any idea of specific drainage projects you'd like to start with first?
Yes, we would like to, first of all, take some of these old sand pits in the northern part of the parish and make them become sort of retention ponds for when that water rises in the A-meet. We would like to go down where the weir is and redo the weir so that we can divert that water back like it was originally built to do, I think, back in 59 or so. We would like to put what they call tubes or culvert-type tubes underneath the interstate from the A-meet River all the way across the parish. In order to do that, though, for FEMA to approve all of that, we have to be able to get the water all the way through the parish, not to the southern part of the parish. And again, so it's vitally important that we do the work that we're planning on doing in the Tickfall and the Taubany down into the A-meet on the southern end of the A-meet River in our parish. So we've got a lot of aggressive things that we think we can get done. We believe that FEMA will approve them. They're all great projects. And then we will take somewhere, and FEMA could change these percentages, but somewhere around 12 to 15 million of this money for elevation and acquisition. And so we'll see at the end of the day how many people actually get registered and what those numbers fall out to be. But FEMA demands that you do some of that. We've got an aggressive program that we're planning on trying to implement.
Yeah. How is the progress coming in terms of working together with your surrounding parishes on drainage projects so that overall as a region the drainage improves, that East Baton Rouge, Ascension, and some of your other surrounding parishes? Are you finding productive conversations?
You know, I think so. For the first time, I really believe people have. I tell you, that flood in 16, and I know we keep talking about it, and people may would want to forget it, but because of the devastation and the widespread devastation of that, it has brought people together to talk and discuss and work together. And that is the best way to get something done for the entire region that's going to really make a significant difference. I know there was talk about the co-meet. That's never going to be funded. In my opinion, and it's not going to make that much difference in Livingston Parish, even if it is. Now, will it help some? It will help some, but all these programs just cost millions and millions of dollars, and then with all the bureaucracy and the red tape from the Army Corps of Engineers all the way up, I think in general people are just, they just get so worked up and aggravated about this, and I think all of that hurt these gravity drainage district taxes passing. So we're going to go out with this money that we're getting off of this, the 60-plus million, and get as aggressive as we can and do something that's never been done in this parish and make a significant difference. So that's my hope, and I really believe FEMA will approve it.
You sound like you're looking ahead. What are your thoughts on 2018? Any specific sort of projects you'd like to see completed by the end of this time next year for Livingston Parish?
Well, we're doing, obviously, some road and bridge work. We're going to hit roads very, very aggressively with some drainage in 2018. One of the things that I think we're going to be able to get completed, I hope completed by then, is the Walker Safe House project. It's a $5 million project that Walker actually invested into with us with our hazard mitigation grant dollars. And it'll serve as a dual purpose for the city of Walker for recreation when it's not in use, but primarily for first responders in any disasters before the disasters hit. We know where we have somewhere we can place them that they can operate and work out of. And while that may not sound like a lot because we don't have a disaster right now, trust me, it means a lot. It means a lot to these first responders of all kinds. So I'm excited about getting that done. I think we're going to kick it off in the spring. I hope it'll be completed before the year is over.
And that is going to include the water, sewer, and gas company representatives that you would bring together immediately during a storm to help maybe try to restore
absolutely.
Those services
EMS
more quickly.
EMS personnel, fire, all of it. Absolutely. And okay. And that's huge, Julie. You've been through these. You know, it's very, and I say this all the time, like in the Homeland Security over there, when everybody's in that room, there'll be 150 plus, I'm sure, and everybody's talking with radios and all these things, and it just seems like it's very confusing and we're jammed in there, but we get it done. It's all a piece of the puzzle. This gives a little bit of room because you'll have this safe house, and you know that they will be protected in there as well as being able to operate out of it. So it's, I think, huge. The new 911 center will be completed here. So we'll have Homeland Security, 911, and then the Walker Safe House. You never know what to expect down the road as far as disasters, but you can rest assured you're going to have some kind at some point. And so we're just trying to be as prepared for all of that as we can when those days happen.
And just in a few short minutes we have left, you came into office with a contentious council relationship, and it seems like things have begun to work together. Are you optimistic about the Livingston Parish Council and working together with the council and voters in 2018?
Julie, I have a great council now. We have a great council now. As you know, everyone was replaced. A couple did not run again, but everyone was replaced by the voters 2 years ago. This council is a fine, fine group. They're very dedicated. They're exceptionally smart. And the biggest thing, I think the best news for all the voters is they're willing to work with us. We're working with them. You obviously accomplish more. and the climate has just been so much better in Lewiston Parish. And we've actually had businesses tell us that they're looking to come now because things are just, we're trying to find a way to progress, but do it responsibly. And at the same time, as I always say, I never want to lose what Lewiston Parish is all about, and that's our people. We want to put the people first every time and try to make good, wise decisions as best we can to move forward, because you're going to progress. You either progress or you die. And so we're going to progress, but we want to do it responsible to our people.
Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks, thank you for joining us this morning, giving us an update on how 2017 has gone, what you can look forward to in 2018. Thank you for your service to the people of Livingston Parish. We wish you all the best in this holiday season. When we come back, thank you, Leighton. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a very impressive blues musician, Larry Garner, who's drawing a lot of crowds in Europe right now. We're going to tell you why here on Talk Louisiana 89.3 WRKF. Simon.
Nah, don't go to New Orleans if you really want to hear the blues. If you get out there on I-10, come west 80 miles to Baton Rouge.
I say don't go to Lafayette. And you're hearing a song by Larry Garner, obviously loves Louisiana from right here in Louisiana, who was born in Louisiana. And we're so privileged to be joined by this blues musician today. West Coast Blues Review says, is Larry Garner the best songwriter in blues today? Yes, easily. And Real Blues says, Larry Garner is perhaps the most talented blues songwriter alive today, one of the top five bluesmen on the planet. It's our pleasure to be joined by Larry this morning. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. How are you this morning?
Well, we're just thrilled that we were able to catch you at home in the country, because we know you do a lot of traveling, and we wanted to just let the folks on WRKF 89.3 and the wonderful listeners that we have out there hear from one of our very own homegrown talented blues musicians. We're so proud of you for everything that you've accomplished in your music career, but I'm curious if you want to share with us, how did it get started? How did you, I know at one point you worked for a plant here in town, right?
Yeah, I worked at Dial for a long time, but I still kind of hobbied with my music, too. I played music before I started working there and before I went in the military. And once I got out of the military, the blues scene was kind of dying out. And I had to find me a job because I had a wife. And so Dial was hiring at the time and Exxon was hiring. And I got called by both plants, but I went to Dial.
And then one night you wandered into Tabby's Blues Box, right?
Yeah, there was an accident down there in front of the governor's mansion, and traffic was backed up. And I got off and went down North Boulevard. And sure enough, that was this little joint with a sign out front say, Blues Jam, number 2, night. And I stopped in and asked them what it was all about. And they said, Tabby said, yeah, you can come back here about 9 o'clock. We'll be getting started. I said, well, do I need to bring anything? He said, bring your guitar and you can use my amp. And I went out that night and I came home kind of late. My wife was upset because I came in late and she knew I had to go to work the next morning. And I said, well, Santa Kay, I had so much fun. She said, well, let's see if you're going to get up in the morning and go to your job. And I went back that Thursday night and that Friday night, so that Wednesday night that I stopped for the Blues Jam started me back into the blues again, and I haven't looked back since.
One of the things that you're known for is your storytelling, and that's reflected in your writing and your songs. How did you develop your style in terms of, and why do you think it's attracting so many in Europe at this point?
Well, my storytelling is just telling things that happened in my life and things that I see around me. When I was a kid, I used to listen to old folks talk, and they always were telling something and laughing about something. And you couldn't really join in the conversations, but they would let you listen. And sometimes they let you ask questions. So between my grandmother and grandfather and uncles and aunts and cousins, they told a lot of stories, and I guess that's where it comes from. But going to Europe, They like listening to the stories. Matter of fact, one guy told me in France, he said, you know, I'm not so good with English. He said, but I learn English because I want to hear your songs and learn your songs. And so that was a good compliment for me that my stories and my song had a guy trying to learn to speak English just so he could understand what I was saying.
And you seem to be increasingly popular in England. What do you think is the link between your music and your personality and the English fans that you have?
Well, the first place I went was England because JSP Records out of London, they signed me. And for two CDs, I played with JSP, and the first real big festival that I played was in England. And that's where I met most of the English guys, and Norman Beaker, because of Facebook. He hit me a message on Facebook, hey, Larry, how you been? And I hadn't been to England in maybe 8 or 9 years, and I said, I've been doing good. How are you? He said, you still playing? I said, well, yeah, I'm over in Europe all the time. I said, are you still playing? He said, yeah, but why you don't come to England no more? I said, well, get me some work. And he said, well, I'm going to get on it. And that was about 6 years ago. And he did, and I'm going back to England a lot now.
And you mentioned that you were in the military. You served some time, if I'm correct, in the U.S. Army?
Yeah, the Army. Is there any other?
Well, the governor would agree with you. Well, and I know I want to talk a little bit about a song that's just really touched my heart. Of course, in my professional life, I work for the Louisiana Department of Veterans Affairs, and veterans mean a lot to all of us here in Louisiana. You wrote a song called Broken Soldier. I just want to play a piece of it now for the listeners.
He said, I can't get over this feeling of the hard things that I did. He said, I killed men, I lost good friends, but I didn't want to kill the woman and the kid. He said, they calling me a hero, but I don't feel that way. He said, I'm just trying to clear my mind of the pictures that I see every day.
Beautiful song by Larry Garner. And Larry, what prompted that song?
Well, we were on the road up in Philadelphia, and they have these little stores would have a deli inside, and I went to get something to eat. And this guy was standing outside in a field jacket and with medals on his jacket, and he asked me for some money. He said, can you spare a buck? I said, no, man, I can't spare a buck, but I can go in here and buy you something to eat. How about that? And I went in, I bought him a sandwich and a cup of coffee. I bought him the same thing that I had. And when I came out, I said, man, you got your field jacket on. I said, you a veteran? He said, oh, yeah. And he started telling me, and I told him I was a veteran, and he started telling me stories about his life. And he was actually homeless. And he was had PTSD, and he was on medicine, and he started telling me the whole reason he was on the street, because he didn't feel safe living with his family anymore, because he would jump up in the middle of the night and think he was back in the war. And he didn't want to hurt his family, so he left home and just lived on the street. And I said, wow. And I heard other stories about people getting wounded and people getting PTSD coming back and couldn't let go of what they had seen or what they had done. And so I wrote the song.
It's so good for us to be reminded of that in Louisiana. No, according to the Louisiana military folks and National Guard and our state, we're going into a time with more deployments from Louisiana. We've always been a state that, you know, supported deployments heavily, but we're unfortunately in a time where we'll see more of that. And so it's good for us to remember and honor our military folks and our veterans. What do you see as you go across the world and what you're out several times a year to Europe and England, right?
Yeah. I stay over there mostly like spring, summer, and just the first part of fall. But other than that, I'm here at home doing honeydews and playing a little bit around in the south here. I don't get on the road anymore like I used to, traveling across the states. I'm just tired of driving. I mean, but if I do sell a super record and make some money, I can hire a driver and I'll get back on the road over here. But in the meantime, I just play around the South.
And what do you see in terms of when you sing blues in Switzerland or England, London area? Is it received as American music or is it sort of seen as international?
Well, I've been going over there so regular until they just see it as a Larry Garner gig. It's not everybody knows that I'm from Louisiana. I mean, when people ask me, it's crazy. I mean, I know that folks would say, "Are you from America?" And I said, "No, I'm from Louisiana." and I do that, and I don't mean nothing against the country, but it's just that I'm from Louisiana, and being Louisianian and being American is two different things to me.
What's the difference?
Louisiana is a country on its own, in my opinion. And when people, they love the way I talk. I mean, I always cook something, and they even now, whenever I go over there, they try to get me to come in a day early, stay a day after, and cook a gumbo or something. And I'm really enjoying that. The last time, in September, I was in France, and I cooked a gumbo for 375 people. But I had a lot of sous chefs helping me, so that was good with the cutting the hard parts, cutting up the stuff and all.
What kind of gumbo did you make? Was it seafood or...?
No, it was an everything gumbo. I mean, it was seafood, sausage, chicken, mushrooms, shrimp, crawfish. I mean, everything I could find over there, I put it in it. And, hey, I tell you what, they were taking bread, sopping the bottom of them three big pots when I got through, and that made me feel good.
And you're legendary for your gumbo. You have a lot of gatherings at your house. You did also were affected by the flood in 2016. How are you recovering from that?
Well, the actual living part of the house is finished, but the storage areas and the outside and the garage and all, I still got work to do, but that's where I stored everything. So, I mean, the fact that I got the house done, I'm happy about that. And one of these days I'll get to the storage room and the garage one of these days. But right now, Sandra came out on my back about it, so I'm not worried about it right now.
And Sandra Kay is, of course, a very important part of Larry Garner's life. And if you know Larry Garner, you're bound to know Sandra Kay. And she puts up with his antics and his many travels around the country. But we're going to stay here, hear some more music by Larry Garner, and talk a little longer with one of our favorite blues sons from here in Baton Rouge. I want to talk about Ognola, Larry, when we come back. I might not be saying it right.
The crack is cut with sugar cane. And the whiskey's watered down. The crooked cops and gangsters are the king of this old town. This is not my circus, not my monkeys. No, this is not my fight. And there are no saints on the streets of New Orleans tonight.
And welcome back to Talk Louisiana. That's one of my favorite Saints of New Orleans, Larry Garner song. And Larry, I know that's one of your favorites too. It talks about everything from New Orleans to Livingston Parish in that song. Just a homegrown Louisiana story. How did that song come about?
Well, actually, I didn't write that one. I just helped with some of the verses. A friend of mine, and he lives in France now. He's actually from Texas, and he moved over there about 12 years ago. And we were on the same record label, Dixie Frog, and Jean-Philippe. He said, "Larry, I would like for you to do collaboration with Neil Black." And Neil and I, we started emailing back and forth. And I came up with a few songs, and he had a few songs. And he told me if I heard anything that I needed a little correcting or adding something. And in the New Orleans song, all I could think about was the Livingston Parish part. And that was my part of the song. But Neil Black is actually his song that I added something on to.
How how do you think your music has changed over the years? I know I've been to occasions when you've played, and some of the audience has said, "Man, he talks a lot. He tells stories a lot." And is that something that you've always done when you perform, starting back there with Tabby's Blues Box?
All the way since the very beginning, only because the guys who I admired and came up listening to always told stories about the next song that they were going to play. I told stories about what made them write the song, and then they would sing the song. And it's just the way that I learned to do it, and that's why I do it. Now, a lot of people actually say that they love the blues and they want to hear the blues, but actually they don't really want the blues. What they want is dance music, and they get it confused with a dance band and a blues band, as far as I'm concerned. And that's why another thing in Europe, they do like listening to the stories about why the songs were written, and stories about my life. And that's another reason why I go over there a lot, too. But here at home, there are certain places who like the stories. I mean, I'm going to Texas this weekend to play a Christmas party, and they say, "Oh, would you please tell some of your stories when you get here?" I say, "Well, I got some Texas stories, too." So she said, "Great." So some people... I'm going to go to places where they like hearing the stories rather than like dancing so much.
Now, if I'm correct, you grew up in a place called Oaknolia in East Feliciana Parish?
Oaknolia, yeah. Actually, Clinton is a big city where we used to go shopping. If you go down Plank Road and go to Reams Road, I mean, you go to Prideful Hudson Road, go down Prideful Hudson Road, you'll run into a little dirt road called the Scott Bar Road. And if you make a left and go back in the Scott Bar Road at night, you can actually see the stars, because ain't no street lights. There's no light pollution back in there. And I lived way around back in the Scott Bar Road. And we still, matter of fact, we got family property, and we got our graveyard up there, and we go back and forth. I've got to keep the place clean. You know, but the dirt road, Scott Bar Road, off of Prideful Hudson Road, that's where I was raised.
Well, and you must be the most famous person from Oaknolia, because I tried to look some things up on it, and there's not a lot of information out there about Oaknolia.
Mr. Dreher, he used to be the most famous person, because he had the post office and the general store, all in the gas station. That was the main thing. We used to have a post office box right there in Oaknolia, Louisiana.
Now, I know that when I've read a little bit about your background, you never visited the closest juke joint to where you grew up, because your parents just weren't into blues music.
No. And it was right down the road, maybe a half a mile around from where I lived down the road. It was a juke joint, but I could go there in the daytime and get gum and potato chips, because it was a little store in the daytime. But when you walk in there, it smelled like beer and bubble gum. And I was a juke joint boy. If I could go in the juke joint in the daytime and buy some bubble gum, you know, but at night I couldn't dare go in there, because I was just a kid, you know. And my parents, they were Pentecostal. They wasn't having that, you know. I couldn't even listen to blues on the radio. My mom, one day we were riding in my dad's new car. He had a 1955 Mercury. And I was standing on the back seat, leaning against the front seat, and the blues came on the radio, and Mama turned it off. And I asked Mama, "Why you turn that off?" She said, "That's the devil's music, and we won't be listening to it in this automobile, because it'll put bad luck on your dad." And I mean, it scared me to death, you know. So my uncle played blues, and so I asked her, "Was he a bad person because he played blues?" She said, "Well, no, he's not a bad person. He's just making bad choices." And my uncle is the one who taught me how to play Jimmy Reed.
Well, not to just cut to the chase, but I did notice that your mom was there at an awards ceremony recently when the Baton Rouge Blues Foundation gave you an award recently. So she must have gotten over her concern.
No, she hadn't gotten over juke joints. I mean, she would come to something at the library. She came alive after 5. But she even came to one of the local bars once. They had a birthday party of one of her friends They had a birthday party. She came in to the birthday party, and she left. But as far as coming out to clubs to hear me, it's no way. I said, well, Mama, you might meet some of your church members there. She said, not none of my church members ain't going to be there.
Let's hear another song from Larry Garner, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow.
Here today, gone tomorrow. That's what old folks used to say. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's what the old folks used to say. They'd say, keep waking up in the morning. You'll be old folks one day.
Here today, gone tomorrow. And I know we're all getting older as each day passes. What do you see for yourself in your musical career in the future, Larry? What are your goals right now?
Well, I would like to put another CD out pretty soon. I got songs, but I want this one to be really special, just a combination of my whole life in music, and I want a couple Christmas songs on it, maybe make me a Thanksgiving song. Nobody sings Thanksgiving songs. just some songs about what's been going on, about the flood and the recovery and all the help that individual people, not government-type people, but I mean just regular folks, how we pull together and help each other. And if it wasn't for us helping each other, I mean, we'd all be lost. A song along those lines, and I'm working on songs, and I got some songs, but I can't put it together quite like I want to. But that's my goal right now, is to do another CD. But I go back to Europe, and I'm doing videos and stuff with those guys all the time. But it's basically the same songs that we do, and somebody's doing videos. But I want something new. And that's where I'm at right now.
You mentioned politics. I know a lot of times you're really urging people to kind of get past politics and get to what connects us all. And that's, in fact, in a lot of your songs, too.
Yeah, I don't dislike politicians. I know that's part of the whole system, how it works. But, I mean, I can't let a politician's opinion make me treat you any better than the way I was treating you before. So it's about me and you, and they're just another entity as far as I'm concerned. But basically, we got to look out for each other down here on this end.
And do you think that blues helps us to do that?
I think so, because a lot of people who had different opinions about other people, and the blues was the one point in their life that they could relate to. And once they get out to a blues concert and they meet other people, different cultures or whatever, and they find out, hey, once we get to listen to the blues, we all the same. So, yeah, I think the blues is very instrumental in bringing people together.
Well, we thank you for what you've done to bring so many people together, from Okanola to Europe to Switzerland to England. And you just keep us smiling. You keep the stories that connect us all. We thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us here today, Larry Garner.
Well, thank you so graciously, Ms. Baxter.
It's been great to talk to you. And Blues for Sale in 2012 was a CD that came out. That is the CD that has the song Broken Soldier. If any of you are interested, we did play a piece of that here on the show. But it's sure been a pleasure talking with Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks and blues musician extraordinaire Larry Garner from right here in Baton Rouge, here today on Talk Louisiana, WRKF 89.3 FM. And certainly Jim Engster will be back in to join us tomorrow.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.